Welcome to Black Welder Ministries. Hello, this is Marty. Thank you so much for your interest in our ministry. I pray that this message will encourage you and strengthen you in your walk with the Lord. God bless you as you listen.
I want to share something with you this morning that I hope will be a source of encouragement to you as a Christian, as a believer, and certainly as a member of the body of Christ as we continue to navigate this year of 2024 and beyond, should the Lord tarry. You know, that's who we are, isn't it? We're the body of Christ. We're the church. We're the family of God. We are a very powerful, sustaining, preserving presence in this earth. The Apostle John said in 1 John chapter 5, around verse 17, he said in the latter part of that verse, it says, as he is, so are we in this world. That means that we are fearless. We are unconquerable. We are unmovable. We are victorious. And as Paul said in 2 Timothy 1:7, we are, as the verse in the latter part says, we're persuaded. We are persuaded that he is able to keep all that we have committed or placed in his hands safe and secure until the fullness of his appearing. Are you with me? With that in mind, I want to share something with you this morning that you will find of interest. How many of you are familiar with the ministry and the man Rick Renner? Anyone familiar? Some may not be. Brother Rick is a friend of this ministry. He's a prolific author, writer, Greek and Hebrew scholar, very solid individual. I want to also say that I do not make it my personal habit, as a year comes around, to seek out everyone's prophetic word for the year. There's a lot of nonsense out there. And yet there are some genuine voices that are inspired by the Spirit of God that God will use to give us insight into the times and seasons which we're living and potentially coming events. So I said that to say, Brother Rick and his wife Denise were on a flight back in the latter part of 2023. He had purposed in his heart during that flight, because it was of a long duration, to listen intently to the Spirit of God, to be prayerful, to see if there was anything God may wish to share or have him share with his friends and partners of the ministry or segments of the body of Christ to whom he would minister. And so he said, in the process of the flight, the pilot came on. And he said, ladies and gentlemen, there's going to be some turbulence ahead. We will arrive safely. But please, remain in your seats. Keep your seat belts fastened. And so he said, as upon hearing those words, the Spirit of the Lord spoke to him and said, the year of 2024 will be visited with turbulent episodes across the entire globe, particularly in the realm of finance, politics, and in and among the nations. Well, we've already seen that emerge, but I have a sense things may intensify. He went on to say, these episodes will be of a sort that could potentially cause those who are not rooted in God's word to be deeply disturbed. But for those of us who stay in faith, in peace, in love, in fellowship, and continue sowing our seeds for the sake of eternity, you will be and remain unmoved, unshaken, well provided for. And you will walk in a much-needed sense of divine assurance, peace, power, and supernatural victory. Yes, those who stay in faith, in peace, in love, in fellowship, and continue sowing their seed for the sake of eternity, they will be blessed, empowered, joy-filled, sustained, and well provided for, even if the world around them is in turmoil or tossed with a tempest. Amen. Now, when God speaks to you and I through chosen vessels, giving us insight once again into the times and seasons in which we're living or potentially coming events, He doesn't do so to instill a sense of fear or uncertainty or to get us on the defensive, right? He does it simply to make us aware, so that we can incline ourselves more intently to His presence, His word, His leading, His influence, so that our paths and our directives and our decisions are more accurately influenced by Him, so that we can remain in a place and position where we are unmoved. We are unshaken. We do walk in divine assurance. We do stay joy-filled and full of peace and supernatural victory. Are you with me? So I don't know about you, but I'm comforted to know that no matter what may unfold in this world, you and I are safe in the arms of God. Isaiah 41:10, you know it well, God said to His servants, how much more to His sons and daughters? Fear not, I am with you. Be not dismayed, I'm your God. I'll strengthen you. I'll help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Aren't you glad? And then, of course, Proverbs 10 and 25, the Bible says the wicked are blown away by every stormy wind. But when a catastrophe comes, the lovers of God have a secure anchor. So, Brother Marty, what is your personal expectation as we continue to navigate the year of 2024 and beyond, should the Lord tarry? Well, my personal expectation, and I hope it will be yours, is to be blessed, empowered, joy-filled, sustained, and miraculously thrive, even if the world around me is in great turmoil. How will that be actualized? By doing what the word of the Lord said. By staying in faith, in peace, in love, right? In fellowship. And continue to sow my seeds for the sake of eternity. So all of these things will be important. But what I want to emphasize specifically this morning, and you'll see how it ties into what others have actually mentioned and emphasized, I want to emphasize staying in faith, or more specifically, maintaining a very strong sense of faith and confidence in the person of God. In the person of God. So, having faith and confidence in the person of God, I used to teach in Brother Hagin's crusades and Holy Ghost meetings in the morning a series he would often have us teach on the subject of faith called Have Faith in God, where we looked at Mark 11:22 through 25, and we divided it in faith's foundation, faith's operation, and then, of course, qualifications for effectual faith. And, of course, the foundation is right here in verse 22, where Jesus said, gentlemen, this is where it all begins. Have faith in God. The modern translation says, take hold of God's faithfulness. The New Testament word faith is really the Old Testament word trust. It comes from the Greek word pistis, P-I-S-T-I-S, and it means to put your trust or confidence in a person or thing. Well, quite naturally, our trust and our confidence as a believer is in the person of God. Now, one of the most significant and defining aspects of our religion from all the other religions of the world is that our religion is not based exclusively upon principle, methodology, code, although that is involved. But our religion is based upon, once again, a relationship with a living person, God Almighty and His Son, Jesus the Christ. So as a Christian, it isn't merely what I believe, although that is crucial. But equally important is who I believe in. And you know, sometimes our focus in life, our preoccupations, our perspectives can become misdirected because of all of the negativity, the multiplicity of voices, the potential uncertainties of the future, and we can forget who we are. And I think equally important, we can forget whose we are. So we need to remind ourselves continually of our position and our place in the earth as the body of Christ, and we need to remind ourselves to whom we belong. So Jesus said, have faith in God, trust Him. Well, quite naturally, it is impossible to have any strong degree of confidence or trust in a person that we do not know. That's why we say Bible knowledge is critical to faith, because it unveils and reveals a revelation of the one we are trusting. Right? So I just want to review this morning, and I hope you won't be disenchanted with the simplicity of this message. But I want to review with you a few aspects of God's nature, His character, His power, His position, His resources, so that you and I actually have a revelation of the one that we are trusting, and why, as several people have said, we can have faith in God. Why we can trust Him now and as this year unfolds and beyond. You know, in theology, we refer to God as omnipotent, which means He's all-powerful. We say He's omniscient. Man, He's all-knowing. We call Him omnipresent because He's everywhere at all times. Right? And although these are certainly characteristics of His person, I think one of the main things that we must realize is that God, at the core of His being, where you and I are concerned, He is a Father. And He loves His kids. Amen. Very, very much. So you and I understand, as believers in Christ, we have entered a family relationship with God. The Bible says in 1 John 5, verse 1, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Right? Now, what does it mean to be born of someone? To be born of someone means that you are brought forth in the nature and the likeness of the one that conceived you. Amen. You and I were conceived by the incorruptible Word of God, that incorruptible seed. We were transitioned from the kingdom of darkness into light by the power and the regeneration of the Holy Spirit. And so we now have a new nature. We become partakers of His divine nature. And we belong to Him. That's why the scripture says, you are of God, little children. What do you mean? You're of righteousness. You're of peace. You're of joy. You're of light. You're of wisdom. You're of strength. You are of God. And whatever is born of God overcomes this world. So Galatians 4, 6, and 7 says, because you're sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Jesus Christ. So guys, this is the relationship that you and I share with Almighty God. That is a relationship of sonship. We are His children. So this is the God we're trusting. He isn't an austere or remote entity. He isn't merely, as some describe Him, the great mind of the cosmos, although He certainly is. But to you and to me, He is a loving Heavenly Father, and He is deeply devoted to our welfare. Amen. What a privilege and what an honor to be in relationship with Almighty God through Jesus Christ and to know that He loves us with an everlasting love. You know, as a child, you instinctively trust your parents, unless, of course, they prove themselves to be untrustworthy through time and action. But as a child of God, it is instinctive within the heart of every believer to put their trust in Him. But friends, understanding who He is, the position He holds, the power He possesses, the dominion that He occupies, and the relationship that we share. All of these components produce, and a revelation of them, a solid foundation for which that trust can be founded and develop. Are you with me? So Revelation chapter 4 verses 1 through 11 gives us a very vivid glimpse into the power and the position that our Heavenly Father holds. Notice the apostle seeing, of course, into the realm of the Spirit. He said, suddenly, after I wrote down these messages, I saw a heavenly portal open before me. And the same trumpet voice that I heard speaking with me at the beginning broke the silence and said, ascend into this realm. I want to reveal to you what must happen after this. Instantly, I was taken into the spirit realm, and behold, I saw a heavenly throne set in place, and someone seated upon it. His appearance was sparkling like crystal, glowing like a carnelian gemstone. Surrounding the throne was a circle of green light, like an emerald rainbow. Encircling the great throne were 24 elders in glistening white garments seated upon those thrones, each wearing a golden crown of victory. And pulsing from the throne were blinding flashes of lightning, crashes of thunder, voices. And burning before the throne are seven blazing torches, which represent seven spirits of God. And in front of the throne there was pavement like a crystal sea of glass. Around the throne and on each side stood four living creatures full of eyes in front and behind. The first living creature resembled a lion, the second an ox, the third had a human face, and the fourth was like an eagle in flight. Each of the four living creatures had six wings full of eyes all around and under their wings. Guys, heaven is going to blow your mind. I mean, there are things there we've never seen, we've never conceived of. Think about Almighty God, our Father, glowing like a carnelian gemstone. Whoa, crystal. Sparkling like crystal. They worshiped Him without ceasing, day and night, singing, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, the was, the is, and the coming. Whenever the living creatures gave glory, honor, and thanks to the one who's enthroned and who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fell face downward before the one seated on the throne. And they worshiped the one who lives forever and ever, and they surrendered their crowns before the throne, singing, you are worthy, O Lord and God, to receive glory, honor, and power, for you created all things, and by your plan they were created and exist. Whoosh. I just wanted to give you a glimpse of the God we are serving and that we're in relationship with. Heaven is a real place. God's throne is there. He is seated upon it. He is absolute in power, in dominion, in authority. The psalmist said, Psalm 103, and of course I'm not talking about Star Wars. I'm talking about reality. Psalm 103 and 19, the Lord has established His throne in the heavens, and His kingdom rules over all. All means all. There's none above him. There's none beside him. There's none before him. He alone is God. The psalmist said in Psalm 86:10, "You are the one and the only God." What miracles! What wonders! What greatness belong to you! Woo! But Brother Marty, what about all of the ungodliness that is arising in this world? The utter contempt and disregard for God's moral law and rule and commands among our society, and their utter contempt for him. What are we going to do? Well, I'm certainly not advocating passivity. We have our job. But if I were you, I wouldn't be overly concerned about it. Because God Almighty, who sits on his throne, who rules among the nations of men, is in ultimate, and please note the word, ultimate control, where his eternal plan and purpose is concerned. I'm not suggesting that every situation that unfolds in this life and world is ordained under the sovereign will of God. We understand there are three entities involved in this earth. There's the kingdom of God, the kingdom of Satan, or darkness, and human will and volition. So we have three things operating. But I said, ultimately, it's very important in this time as the body of Christ that we keep the proper perspective, which is God's perspective. Notice Psalm 2, 1 through 4. Now, guys, I'm just a word guy. I like to just give a lot of scripture. Is that okay? It's good for us. I learned that from my spiritual leaders. Psalm 2, 1 through 4 and 10 through 12, keeping the right perspective. Notice, how dare the nations plan a rebellion? Their foolish plots are futile. Look at how the power brokers of the world rise up to hold their summit. As the rulers scheme and confer together against Yahweh and his anointed king, saying, "Hey, let's come together. Let's break away from the Creator. Once and for all, let's cast off these controlling chains of God and his Christ." God enthroned merely laughs at them. Oh! The Sovereign One mocks their madness. Verse 10, "Listen to me, all you rebel kings, you upstart judges of the earth. Learn your lesson while there's still time. Serve and worship the awe-inspiring God. Recognize his greatness. Bow before him, trembling with reverence in his presence." You remember the scripture, "Behold the goodness and the severity of God. Fall face down before him and kiss the Son, before his anger is roused against you. Remember, his wrath can be quickly kindled, but many blessings are waiting for all who will turn aside and hide themselves in him." That's me. Anybody else gonna reverence and hide ourselves in him? All I'm saying is that now is the time to make sure you're on the right team. I'm talking about this morning putting our trust in God by understanding, first of all, the relationship that we share, also his position, his power, his ability, and of course, equally, his resources. You remember referring back to the prophetic word that we read earlier. There would be turbulent episodes across the entire globe, particularly in the realm of finance, politics, and among and in the nations. So, noting finance, it's comforting to me to know that no matter what circumstances may unfold in the stock market, the real estate, the banking systems, whatever the case may be, our Father has unlimited resources. And he's well able to take care of us if we're listening. I said, if we're listening. Woo! Have some open ears. Be attentive. Be prayerful so that we follow the leadings of the Spirit, who is a major cooperation or cooperator with our faith in God, the Holy Spirit. So, God said, Psalm 24:1, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. The Moffat translation says, the earth belongs to the Eternal One. Woo, and all the earth holds. So man, he's got resources. I like Psalm 50. It tickles me when I read it. Psalm 50:10-12, God speaking by the spirit of prophecy through Asaph. Notice, every beast of the forest is mine. The cattle on 1,000 hills. I know all the birds of the mountain and the wild beasts of the field. They're mine. If I were hungry, I wouldn't tell you. The world is mine and all of its fullness. Woo! And that's plenty. Haggai 2:8, the Bible says, God said, the silver's mine, the gold is mine, saith the Lord. So he's got the resources. You know, in my household, I am the, as you would term it, the sole provider. Now, God is our source, but you know what I mean by that terminology. I pay for the house, the car, the clothes, the food, all of it, right? But did you know that my wife and my two daughters and my mother-in-law and my dog, they live in it? They drive it, they eat it, they wear it, and they don't pay for any of it. Why? Because they're equal sharers of the household. What belongs to daddy belongs to the kids. And I am happy and honored and blessed to do it. Well, if I, being natural, know how to give good gifts to my children, how much more will our Heavenly Father give good things to those that ask Him? So He's going to take care of us. Amen. We're going to be listening. We're going to stay in faith and peace and continue sowing our seed for the sake of eternity. And He will reciprocate with rivers in the desert, waters in dry places if necessary. Right? Amen. So everyone say, God is my Father. He's the supreme ruler of this universe. His throne is in heaven. He has all power, all dominion, all ability, unlimited resources. And very simply, I want to share with you just a few of the characteristics of His nature. And these were mentioned. We need to know that our Father is good. God is good. That's the first attribute of His person. Now, friends, how do you know He's good? Well, first of all, yes, we've tasted and experienced the goodness of God, but the Bible tells us so. Psalm 34:8, oh, taste and see what the Lord is good. Blessed is the man. Blessed is the woman who trusts in Him. Here's another one, Nahum 1:7. The Lord is good. Woo, He's a stronghold in the day of trouble. Notice He's not the cause of our trouble. He's a stronghold in the midst or in the day of trouble, and He knows them who put their trust in Him. Here's another good one. James 1:16-17. You know it very well. James said, be not deceived. Do not be deceived. What does that mean? Do not make an error in your judgment or perception of God. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. It is imperative, and you say, well, this is common knowledge, not to new believers, perhaps. It is imperative as a Christian and to your life of faith and mine that we believe and know God is good. He is always my answer. He's never my problem. He's always the antidote. He's never the poison. You would be amazed at how many Christians believe God is the source or author of their sorrow. The devil will eat your lunch and leave you a note that said, God did it. Are you with me? It's imperative for our faith, and particularly now, that we know and have the revelation that our Father is good. He is our refuge. He is our help in times of trouble. We understand we live in a world that is in a degenerative state. We understand there's the presence of Satan, sin, human will, and volition. We understand that this dispensation is culminating to its end very rapidly. So there are going to be events that unfold in this world. But for you and for me, we understand the relationship that we share with our Father, the character that He possesses, and the first characteristic is His goodness. Psalm 91 and 14. Whoa, you can put your confidence in this year. The Lord says, I will rescue those who love me. I'll protect those who trust in my name. When they call on me, I'll answer. I'll be with them in trouble. I'll rescue and I'll honor them. Whoa, everybody say God is good all the time. Yes, there are going to be situations in life along our journey. We don't understand the outcome, the whys. Are you with me? Paul said that. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I think it's around verses 8 and 9. No need to pull it up. You'll remember he said, we're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. Notice the next word. He said, perplexed. Perplexed, that means puzzled. He said, man, I'm going to tell you. Life can be puzzling at times. Even this life of faith, he said, I don't always understand why situations unfold the way they do or people respond and behave the way they do. But just because I can't wrap my head around it all, perhaps, and I'm seeing presently through a glass darkly and my understanding is limited, one thing I do know, this is my foundation, God is good. If he could have, he would have. So I'm going to put it on the shelf and I'm going to keep moving forward. I'm perplexed, but not in despair. I'm not going to throw in the towel, adopt this attitude of futility. Why try? Woo! He's good. Now here's the second attribute. Thank you for your patience. God is merciful. You need to know that about your Heavenly Father. What is mercy? I know we have a lot of able ministers here that could tell you. But mercy in its simplistic form is love above what justice demands. Mercy is love above what justice demands. Aren't you glad none of us got what we deserved? Woo! Lamentations 3, and I don't think I gave you the scripture, I'll just quote it, says, the steadfast love of the Lord never, what? Never ceases. His mercies, plural, never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness, O God. I love Psalm 86 and 5. Notice this is our Father. You, Lord, oh, you're good, yeah. But notice his posture. Ready to forgive. Ready. See, people have the wrong concept. Sitting up with a baseball bat, ready to pounce you at your first infraction. Wrong perception. You're good. You're ready to forgive. Abundant in mercy to all who call upon you. Here's another good one, Psalm 103. Just saturate you with the word this morning, 8 through 12. The Lord is merciful and gracious. Woo! You know what gracious is, man? It's the opposite of stingy. Your Father isn't stingy. slow to anger, abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us. Some say translations chide, but what does that mean? Well, basically in the Hebrew, it indicates he will not always be finding fault. God is not nitpicking our faults. He doesn't treat us like we sometimes treat one another. Woo-hoo! Not always strive, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, thank God, nor punished us according to our iniquities, as the heavens are high above the earth. So great is his mercy toward those who fear him, you and I, who reverence him, who honor him, who endeavor to live our lives for him. As the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Man, I tell you what, how'd he do it? Through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad God is not holding our trespasses against us? The prophet Isaiah in 43:25 said, I, God said, will blot out your transgressions, and I won't even remember them for my own sake. They're under the blood. Woo, somebody say under the blood. And did you know that that is his desire for every person on this planet, to extend his mercy and his saving grace? The scripture tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:19 in the Amplified Bible, notice, God was personally present in Christ. Now watch this, reconciling and restoring the world to favor with himself. Now listen, not counting up or holding against men their trespasses, but canceling them. Woo! And has given unto us the word, the message, and the ministry of reconciliation. This is our time, man. We've got to move out with the gospel. We've got to let the life and the light that we carry be impacting people on a daily basis. And I'll tell you why. Because the time is short. Listen to me. The word of the Lord came to me in the not too distant past. He speaks often in prophetic psalms and things. I don't know why they rhyme. They just come out that way. But he said, the door that now stands open will soon begin to close. As with swiftness and acceleration, this final season goes. And yet there is a remnant that still must enter in. And once they've taken their place in the kingdom, the time of sorrows will begin. So listen carefully to the Spirit, for he speaks of things to come. And let your heart be strengthened and the will of the Father be done by being mindful of his presence in every step you take, and by staying filled with his Spirit and impact in the lives of many you will make. And his presence will overtake you. And God's glory men will see. And Jesus will be glorified in you and in me. The time's short. We got a job to do. They need to know of the mercy of God. God is good. God is merciful. Two more. Stick with me. He'll give me five more minutes. Anybody? 5, 10, 15, 20. All right. Praise the Lord. The third thing I want you to know, and I know you know it, but we just want to say it. God is faithful. God is faithful. How do you know? Well, if I've experienced his faithfulness, and the Bible tells me. He's trustworthy. He is dependable. 1 Corinthians 1:9 says, God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Everybody say, God is faithful. Here's another scripture for your notes. 2 Thessalonians 3:3. The Lord is faithful. He will establish you. He will guard you from the evil one. So this is an essential component of God's nature and character, and that is faithfulness. Numbers 23 and 19, you know well, the Bible says, God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he not said it? And will he not do it or make it good, right? If he said it, he'll do it. Now, many times people become disillusioned with God, disenchanted, angered with him, because their faith falters and perhaps they've had unrealistic expectations of God based upon their personal desire, timetable, the way they want it answered. Are you with me? And when things don't coincide with that predisposition, they get very disenchanted and even walk away at times. But friends, we have to realize that there are certain times and seasons, and I'm talking about where God's plans, purposes, and provisions are concerned, that are designated for certain events and provisions along our journey. And God has a timetable on things. And so it doesn't matter how much faith is exerted, if you and I are not in alignment with his divine plan, purpose, and season, and you're attempting to apply faith in a certain direction that it's just not simply time for, you're going to be frustrated. As we said, we have a leader. His name is the Holy Spirit. It is very imperative that we lay our plans, our desires, our objectives before him and ask for his wisdom, his insight. Holy Spirit, give me wisdom. Give me insight. Father, are these things in alignment with your time, seasons, plans, and purposes for me? Now, we know certain things are already outlined in the scripture that are covenant. But I'm talking about these arenas that are not written. They must be discerned. We must be led. Okay, God is faithful. And here's the final one. Finally, you know this as well. God is steadfast, man, and he's unchanging. Aren't you glad? James 1 and 17, once again, we've already read it. Every good and perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. James is referring to the day of creation when God set the constellations in their place, the sun, the moon, the stars. And he said, you know what? The constellations may shift and vary, the sun may rise and set, but God, our Father, in his position, in his power, in his ability, in his goodness and mercy and faithfulness, he never rises and sets, man. He is always steadfast, unchanging. He's not moody like we are. You don't come into the throne room and say, Father, and he say, man, I got 1,000 other kids to deal with today. No, man, he's there. He's unchanging. Malachi 3 and 6, you know it very well. I am the Lord. I do not change. Friends, I said all this morning to very simply encourage all of us as we continue to navigate this year and beyond. Let's remember who we are. Let's remember to whom we belong. Let's remember the one in whom our trust and our faith rests. The words that I shared with you as we began, the pilot said, ladies and gentlemen, there's going to be some turbulence ahead. We will arrive safely. Please keep your seats and your seatbelts fastened. And that's exactly what we're going to do. We're going to keep our seat, man, in heavenly places, in Christ, far above all principality, power, might, dominion, and every name that is named. Woo! We're going to keep our seatbelts fastened, full of faith, full of peace, full of love, full of joy, full of confidence. Are you with me? And as a result, man, we're going to be blessed, empowered, joy-filled, sustained, and miraculously thrive, even if the world around us is tossed with a tempest. That's my expectation. So this morning, very simply, Have faith in God. Who is He? He's your Father. He's the supreme ruler of this universe. His throne is in heaven. He's absolute in power, dominion, authority. Amen. Ability, unlimited resources. And guess what? He loves us. He loves us. Glory. You know, I want to share this with you. As the year began, I talked to you about listening carefully to the Spirit of God. The word of the Lord came to me. I was in a public setting. I think I was at Beyond Church or maybe Arkansas. But the word of the Lord came to me, and I've shared it a couple of times, but I want to share it with you because it bears significance of where we are today. But the word of the Lord came to me, and I think I can remember it. I got the transcript, but it's in my spirit, but I'll just pull it up in case. But the word of the Lord came to me saying, for those who are listening, I'm speaking now to prepare and to position and to show you how to navigate the days that are ahead, for you will see a great shift among the nations, society, economically. But as it is written, those who honor me will I honor, and will steadfastly keep and provide as under the shadow of my wing you dwell and you abide. So move forward with an internal sense of confidence, not in cowardice or fear, but in faith and divine assurance as you navigate the remainder of this year. For those who call upon my name, they'll stand immovable and advance my kingdom purposes and my will, no matter what the circumstance. Yes, there will be turbulent episodes, perhaps more intense than heretofore, but that's just because the time is short and you're standing now closer to the door of the King's return. When the trumpet will sound and we will ascend, and of the glory and the peace and the joy, whoo, man, there'll be no end. So rejoice. Be glad. Amen. Do not, what did he say? Do not cower or be afraid, right? But just stay filled with the Spirit. Stay filled with His Word and endeavor to be led. Are you with me? Come on, everybody. Let's stand up. Let's stand up. Let's do what the Word said. Rejoice. Be glad. And He said, be courageous. Be courageous. And do not dread. But stay filled with the Spirit and full of faith and endeavor to be led. So, glory. That's what we're going to do. Man, I tell you, when you keep your eyes on Him, all this surrounding peripheral stuff, it's not going to faze you. Amen. Come on, let's lift our hands. Father, we trust You. Our faith and our confidence lie in You. And as we continue to navigate the days that are ahead, we stand immovable. We will advance Your kingdom and Your kingdom purposes, and we will do it with the fire and power of the Holy Spirit and with great determination. We refuse to become absorbed with all of the commotion and nonsense of this present world. We are of Your kingdom. You, Lord, are the King of kings. You're the Lord of lords. And Your kingdom rules over all, and we as ambassadors are going to stand strong in these last days. Woo! Oh, hallelujah. We're going to do our job, Father. We commit to that. And our eyes are on You, and You only. In the mighty name of Jesus, everybody said, amen. Listen, I know it's a morning service, but I don't want to take anything for granted. If you're here this morning and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, man, you need to come into the kingdom now. Do not wait.